Welcome to the Monday Nooner Senior Hockey Top 10 show for this week. The boys are all together, Boz, Shink, Shane, and Josh Miller, Senior Hockey Insider, back with us again this week, fresh off a heck of a weekend at the Briar for old Millsy. But who wants to give some love to our title sponsor, the King of Trucks, to kick off the show?
GM Stores, Truck Month, 0%. Financing is back. 2023 and 24 Sierra Silverado 15 Hyundais. Big discounts remaining on 2023s. Millsy, pay attention to this because you need a new vehicle.
I do, buddy.
You know what, guys? Chrysler store, Rosetown, March Madness. You could win your payments for a year up to 18K off MSRP on 2023 models. That's pretty crazy.
See, Millsy is listening intently now. The best part about doing the last two pods with Millsy, I feel like he's recording it in one of the showcase showdowns from Price is Right in the background. He's in his kitchen. He's got a microwave, a fridge. That was always the shitty one to win, right? Because then, you know, the next one had trips and cars. It's like an armoire. It's like, I don't want that. And you catamaran. I live in Ohio.
And you knew that the cabinets weren't custom; they were IKEA, so you knew they weren't good. You'll like this. You're kind of a betting guy, Mills. You'll like this down at Southie. Be one of the first 50 people to buy a new vehicle this year. 1 in 50 shot at 10K cash. Who couldn't use 10 grand, Millsy?
I can use any
cash to pay off my Briar real bills all from all week.
I was going to say 1 in 50 is a hell of a lot better odds than a Briar patch or a Lumsden Monarchs 50-50. Good odds there, 1 in 50 at
let's
10K
start
at the King of Trucks. Yeah, let's talk Sunday night. A lot of boots are on the ground. Millsy was at the Briar final, so he didn't have boots. I respect that because there was a moment in time where I was thinking, am I in the wrong place? Should I be at the Brand Center to witness history 44 years in the making? Not meant to be, but myself and about 1,249 others were inside the Lumsden Sports Arena. Why are you shaking your head? Do you think that's an incorrect number?
No, I do not at all. That's awesome.
There was probably 1,200 paid, and I would say there was about 300 Bob's your uncle, use the side door people there. At least I'm 15 Hyundai for sure.
Act.
You couldn't have fit any more people in. Like, honestly, it was at the point where it was almost uncomfortable. I actually watched the game from the stairwell.
As well.
In the bleachers, right? Where they got the mini half stairs. That's where I watched the game. And I was at the far end, so everyone kept piling to the far end thinking there'd be room at the end. There wasn't room at the end. There's probably more room. And the Round Lake fans, all credit to them, they all came in early and put blankets down. And I think they might have had a little extra leg room down there than what we were suffering through at the end of the rink.
Smart veteran native hockey tournament rule or move. I love it. And then I thought we got there really early, but chit-chatting, as my mom would say. And then before you knew it, gambling corner was three deep. And I'm like, to Donnie, I'm like, well, this ain't going to work. So we scrambled. And you know what we did? I told the trainer from the Lumsden Monarchs, hey, I'm going to dump those pucks on the ground. I'll put them back. We're going to stand on these milk crates. And he was like, okay. So we tried to do the Art Hauser Center milk crate thing. Still didn't get enough of a line. So then I looked up top where most of the Round Lake fans were. And I'm like, they look like good people. I'm going to go up there. And I ended up sitting right beside Sean Hebert.
You heard her on the intro to this show, by the way. For those wondering, voice of the Round Lake Bears. I didn't see her live video, but I saw online after that it had 8,300 views per period when she went live on Facebook. I like the move at the end of the rink where people were packed in there. There were some old practice nets, and these guys got thinking. So they found some slabs of plywood, put them on top of the nets, make sure it was sturdy, and stood on the plywood on top of the nets. There was a guy standing on a plastic trolley that was about 3 feet high. He was standing on it, had like the little wheels on the bottom, holding on to that. It was like anywhere you could find room. Yeah, it was, I don't know if I've ever seen a senior hockey game packed to the gills like that, like what I witnessed on Sunday night.
I was talking to the guys around the bench and then the RCs, right? They brought in RC, smart move, keep things under control. And I said to the one Lumsden guy, this will be the most people you'll ever see in this rink.
Yeah, for sure. It was packed.
Like it was awesome. And
pretty cool.
Concession line was long, so I didn't even tempt that, but I heard a lot of guys. It wasn't as bad. Man, I love the playlist too. I love the music they play in Lumsden. They give zero fucks. We're playing Steve Winwood, and like it or not, we're playing the Beatles. Tough shit. None of that new stuff.
It's in his name is Ollie. Last name Ollie, the music guy. Mike Ollie, I want to say out there. Shout out to him. Yeah, what else?
Before you guys go, I heard they came out to Kokomo for warm-up. Is that a true story?
No, Surfing USA.
Surfing USA. Yeah, they played a little snippet of something, and then they went straight into Surfing USA, which I thought was a solid move.
Hey, one other question for you fans. Fellows, did they have a beer runner out in the stands?
Yeah.
Listen to this.
On the other side, because it was blocked off. You couldn't get back and forth. So gotcha. They had a 50-50 runner and a beer runner.
Gotcha.
End of the first period. There's a volunteer lady just doing her best to help out. Was not impressed that some people are using the back door to go take a pee. So there's probably about 50 people right at the back door, take a pee, wedge the door. That got shut down. She didn't like that. Had to go all the way around. So she started guarding the door, and then her phone rang. She said, hold on, something more important just happened. We ran out of beer. Right at the end of the first period, they ran out of beer. So somebody must have made a run to the the Lumsden Hotel, and restocked. But yeah, 20 minutes in, the beer was sold out.
There are people, and if you don't follow our socials, you have to go follow the Monday Neuter on Twitter or X, because you're going to see the visuals there. But there are so many people that listen to this podcast that are from Saskatchewan, right? And they always message us, oh my God, I get to keep tracks. It's like I'm there and I get to hear this. All you people, go to the social and get your eyeballs on this Lumsden rink. Because it's a pretty standard rink, right? There's lots of rinks around that in Saskatchewan. You'll see what we're talking about, video and pictures. The last thing I want to say before we get into the game, if Round Lake wins, if Keniston wins, there is no effing way they're playing this in Keniston. They have to book the Belcher Center in Saskatoon.
So I reached out to a friend of mine in Keniston. 800 is max, that allegedly.
Max.
They said a couple of years ago for a final, they had 800, give or take. So, somebody said to me too, Watrous isn't that big of a rink either.
Nope, it is not. I mean, it wouldn't be much more than that.
No,
like maybe it's a thousand.
Let's play at the Brand Center. Let's dial it up or the co-op C6.
No, keep it away from real. Belcher Center, Saskatoon, hub of the. No, they can play in OCHAP, but Keniston, I'm telling you right now, call Belcher Center and get some dates locked in, because you will pack that. And that
Keniston, let's win the series first.
Yeah, they got to get by Watrous.
Same goes to Watrous. Why don't Keniston and Watrous make a deal? That let's go in on this together for the Belcher, and then whoever wins, because you don't want to make those plans too early. I wanted to mention one thing that you said watching the social medias and stuff, and I thought this was kind of cool. We got a message during the game from NHL defenseman Damon Severson, who said, boys, I love the good old SAS senior hockey coverage. Lots of guys I played with and against out there buzzing. So just when you think that nobody cares about senior hockey, you got NHLers following along for updates from a senior A South final game. It's kind of cool.
Isn't that the truth? And then, so if people don't know, I've been hosting the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM sporadically. Brandon came on the last two Fridays from after work. He was going to the patch anyway, or going to curling. And we talked senior hockey. And obviously at that Saskatchewan game on Friday, it was crazy. So then you left. I don't know where you went. I went into the patch that night, and a bunch of people came up and were like, hey, were you guys doing the Monday Nooner from, and I'm like, no, that's the sports show on 620 CKRM, but we're talking senior hockey for an hour. And they're like, oh, I should have tuned in. I wasn't sure what the hell you guys were doing up there. Everyone call. I love the thing is no one knows what to call Brandon. It's either Boz, Baz, Brandon, Brennan. I get it. I get everything.
Hey, yeah. Double, call me whatever double you
B.
Want.
We're going to nick him double B gambling, right now.
On that, guy. I was hotter than a $2 pistol on the old curling bets. But yeah, the lot of Nooner merch in the patch as well. And at the curling, I appreciated that. We'll talk more about that on our full show later this week. Let's talk about the game. Obviously, we all thought that Lumsden was, I'll admit, I thought, okay, Lumsden's fast or whatever. They're going to skate all over Round Lake. Not at all what happened. I actually thought Round Lake was much faster than I had given them credit for, just streaming a few games online. I guess Barry, you've watched a few of their games. First time you saw them in person, what were your takeaways?
So Neil McDougall and I had this debate in going into game three, I think, against Balcaras. Maybe it was game one. He goes, I watched Round Lake on the stream and I watched Lumsden tonight. There is no way. And I said, you can never take a stream or a TV game and talk speed. You have to be there. You guys have all played hockey, right? It's or like a Pats game. You go or WHL, you go lower and you're there. It is fast. You go higher or you go on TV. It's not as high. It's just how it is. So I was like, nah, round, just wait and see. And then the other thing is Round Lake is, you guys got to see it. They're so smart. They have smart hockey. Dwight King, where he puts his stick in the lanes, like that is intelligent NHL shit. Trent Campbell added so much to their roster. So did Conrad McKay. He's just got to keep it on cool. And then Colton Yellowhorn's a hell of a hockey player as well. So yeah, I got to see him before, right? That was your first time eyeballs wise for you guys.
I thought that Round Lake was going to run out of gas. That's what I said at the start. I was like, you know, Lumsden's so fast and they came quick and Round Lake was with them. And I thought midway through this game, Round Lake's going to, you know, they're going to tape, but they didn't. They kept coming. They really threw, in my opinion, they threw the intimidation factor in there. I think that fifth goal, that D-man was going back and he completely let up because he didn't want to get run over. And that they picked that puck up, fired out in front, back your net. And it was one of those things where that intimidation factor really came into play.
And that was Morasti, right? He's the one who went and got the puck and threw it out to McKay, I think it was. Maybe. Yeah. Trent Campbell, actually. And then Morasti got the last one. So I know we've been a little bit hard on Morasti and some minuses and stuff, but he had points and was a factor on the winning goal and the insurance goal. He was primary assist and then the goal scorer, so...
I have to give a shout out to Magoo, to Mugger, and Dallas Folk.
They were the refs. Nation.
Called a hell of a game, I thought. In control all game. Had a beer with the boys after. I forget the linesmen. The linesies were so good, too.
Donovan Florek was one of them. Plays on my rec team.
Is he the tall, slender guy?
No, he's the big other boiler guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job because that's a tough spot for the refs, right? They walked in and they walked in probably 40 minutes before game time. And I saw they walked through that side door. There they go. What the hell is going on? Like, it is packed already, right? And then the other thing is how many big misses by like inches? Some of those hits. Oh, thank you. I thought a couple of those guys were going to the Lumsden. There's no clinic in Lumsden Hotel or Hospital, but
I don't think Lumsden had near their best that night, though. I don't think they played great. Like, I think you're going to get a different team in OCHAP. Well, you have to. If they have won any chance, they have to bring a totally different team in OCHAP, they have to play way better than they did.
That Hayward, is it Hayward?
Yeah.
Haywood. And then his line mates, other white helmet guy, really Dufour.
Yeah.
And then Klosky. So I thought they were really good for Lumsden, which they need to be because they're the top line. Also, I don't know if I should mention this on the show, and I won't get too in the depth. Klosky had his phone on the bench all game and checked it after every shift because he had like a bit of a family medical emergency going on. So fuck.
No worries, India.
I was like, holy man, the speed of this game and to have something else thinking of going through your head when you got those kind of guys running around. I'm like, Good on you. I thought that line was really good.
Round Lake also, like, they've got big boys, but they can motor some of those young guys too. Like, they've got some speed up front as well. They were hard on the forecheck too.
Kinger looked a little like out of shape though. Like, I was like, you imagine him in full condition, he'd be scared. I mean, he was great, but I mean, you imagine him in full condition, how good he'd be. Wow.
Absolutely. Such a nice guy. Him and Marasti were getting ready to drive all the way back to Meadow Lake. And we were just talking and I was like, yeah, I said, well, I know we chatted you with you on the Nooner. I said, I'm on the Nooner. We had it. He's like, oh, hey. And he shook my hand and all. Such a nice guy, Kinger. And he goes, yeah, you know, really good hockey game. Really nice guy. I'm actually going to have him on the Sports Cage later this week to pump up game two in OCHAP. But I can't imagine driving to Meadow Lake after.
No jet for this one.
I think they only did that once, that whole rumor.
It wasn't a rumor. It definitely happened.
No.
They posted a photo on it on their page. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And
chopper off the Lumsden rink.
Did I mention?
Well,
Did I mention this last game that when I went with Jeremy, buddy Jer, he goes, do you know that King and Drew Doughty are the same age? And I was like, what?
Only 34.
Yeah.
But he also, like, he hasn't played in the NHL for 7 years. So, like, everyone's like, NHLer. He hasn't played at the highest level in 7 years. Oh, so it's not like he's straight out of the show. He's been busy serving pints at Kingdom Golf up in Meadow Lake. He's got other things going on up north. But
so who's back in for Lumsden going into game two? Does Johnson get back in?
No, unless they play a league game, and it doesn't look like it because Belcaris Milestone's going to game five on Wednesday. So they got to play game one on Friday, and then he'll miss that one. Then he can play Saturday night. But
who played net for Lumsden?
Saudi guy.
Unruh. I was wearing a different guy's name on his jersey, but Taylor Unruh from Saudi. I heard that McCauley was in Vegas or something. I don't know if that's still why he wasn't in the lineup, because he wasn't even dressed. Tanner Erickson was the backup for Lumsden on Sunday night. So, but one thing, like that Kyle Johnson, that's a big, he would be a big factor in their lineup as well. Shout out to him. He patrolled the crowd and sold 50-50s whole game, slinging 50-50s. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, his beach boy tarp on.
Yeah.
So I think losing Tory Lindsay too, fellas, got to give a shout to that in that third line. I watched those guys, and like I said, in Drake, they were so good, that third line with Lindsay. So losing him on that line too probably bumps everybody around and bumps somebody up. And
word is Round Lake could be without Day Chief. So
yeah, I took a big hit by Brownie.
Upper body injury.
UBI.
Brownie hit him pretty hard there.
Brownie hits everybody really hard.
Yeah.
And Marasti were chatting quite a bit there in the corner after one of the stoppages.
So there was they're on the one face off. It was later in the game. It was already 6-4. And Marasti tapped him and said something to him. And Brownie went, No, I'm not.
That Brown. I thought you were talking about Dave Brown, the guy that hit.
Ty Brown, I think, was the one who
said no.
Ty Brown's he's a big boy, but I'm like, I don't know if you know.
So not to like drag this on, but like, so we talked about that where the guy went in the corner, kind of let up Marasti when he got it. It's one of those things, like, I guess guys are like, oh, he should have went, you know, he sucked out his team, you know, but it's like I said, well, from my standpoint, if you think about it, though, what if this guy works construction just to throw a wrench into things? But he's got to go to work on Monday and he can't go to work with a separated shoulder. He doesn't have, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things, like, does that stuff go through some of these guys' minds? Do they pull up? Because there were some big hard hits in that game.
There were some glass, ice packs for sure.
Glass fell out.
I'm pretty sure that was from the fans banging on it from the outside.
I didn't think they were getting that thing back in.
No.
I was like, how are they going to play this?
We're out of here. Donnelly's like, let's go. I was with McHugh, and he's like, let's get out of here. I'm like, they'll get it in.
So move on. Game two, just quickly around the horn here. What predictions for game two? I'll start. I'll put my balls on the line. I say Round Lake wins. Round Lake sweeps, which I thought was absolutely insane on Friday.
I think Lumsden's going to take it there. It's going to be a tight game, maybe OT. I think we're going back to Lumsden for game three.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm same as I would have said Lumsden before the series. I just said it all year from what I saw from Round Lake, where Lumsden's going to have to play a lot better, but I'll take Lumsden in overtime game two to send her back.
Okay, and I'm going to jump on with Schenck, and I'm going to take the Round Lake sweep. I just, again, what I've heard from a few people around, my buddy Snipe was out there, and he said they looked okay. And like you guys just said, if they move their feet like they did in this game, then I think they'll feed off the crowd. It is going to be a raucous, rowdy night in Ochap on Saturday night. I can't wait to get out there.
Can somebody grab my dictionary? I've never heard that word before.
I knew you were going to. I was waiting for you to do it. Raucous.
You play the game to win, Millsy.
You got
to
get in the rickshaw and get her going here, boys. Game two, Saturday night at the Ochapways First Nation. 7 o'clock Saturday night. Game three, if necessary. 6:45 again Sunday in Lumsden. So it'll be a quick turnaround. And another full barn if it goes the distance there.
And then just quickly, if I did have an extra player of the game tarp, which I got to get, and I don't know what size he'd be, maybe an extra large, I would have given the player of the game tarp to Kron in net for Round Lake.
Played great. He played really good. So really good.
Okay, let's, for those of you tuning into this show, this is not just a Round Lake Lumsden recap show. Obviously, we're not going to go this deep with all the other series, as this is the only one we all had boots at. So let's get into the other series. Anyone got anything on Keniston, Watrous, and A?
Sloppy game. I had not a ton of flow and not a lot of hits is what my boots had.
Yeah, and I got kind of the same thing what Barn had. Both teams, only a few penalties. Neither team's power play looked really good. Everybody just played their position. Oh, we're going back to 8-9-10 hockey here, Belts. Just play your position, stay in your lane, and yeah.
Chip it out, chip it in. Yep.
Watrous's top line and D pair created all of their chances. So be interesting to see what happens in game two.
Yeah, that Mikan, I think, and Johnson and those Watrous guys and the Clausens, I think they produce most of Watrous's, from what I've heard, offense comes through those top four or five guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens, Millsy. When do they go? Saturday in Keniston?
They do. Back in Keniston's, is it Saturday night?
So you've seen that. You've seen that series, saw that series, Millsy?
No, I had a buddy out there. He sent me a little update last night. 7:30 in Keniston, Boz. Saturday night,
7:30. In Keniston, game three, if necessary. We're going to go back to Watrous for Sunday, 8 o'clock. So we'll find out, I guess, by Sunday for sure, who's in the Senior A Provincial Final. Quickly over to Senior C, like clockwork for the Wilkie Outlaws. The wins just keep coming, and I made a mistake, Millsy, on the last show, and I got a text about their win streak. I think I was a couple light on how many they had won in a row. Coming up on a calendar year this weekend since their last loss. I had a buddy who watched the game in Dinsmore, and he was very disappointed with Dinsmore's pushback. He said it was 6-2 Outlaws after two. Dinsmore didn't muster up a shot for pretty much the whole third period. And then from what I heard, game two was a 2-1 win for Wilkie, and I think Dinsmore only went with about 12 or 13 skaters, and they're missing some key guys. So they kept it close. I imagine Hobbs and net did his job, but 2-1 win for the Outlaws. And they've got an older team, as you know, Josh, and a lot of veterans. So talk to some guys out there. They said this little break, obviously the other series is going to go this weekend. They've got at least probably 2 weeks off here until the following weekend. So that break for the Outlaws probably couldn't come at a better time.
They're still waiting for that league final to start against Kindersley, which I don't have any dates. There was nothing yet.
I heard possibly Friday, Sunday, game one and two. They'd like to get two out of the way this weekend so they can focus on provincials next weekend. But should mention as well, mentioned this last week, Hockey Saskatchewan, deadlines for some of those provincials are supposed to be March 24th. Those have been extended to the 31st because of the delays with the weather last weekend. So looks like we will have senior hockey provincial finals on Easter weekend, which is at the end of March this year.
Well, canceling some Mexico trips.
And all three of them going at the end then, hey? Because it was split before, right, fellas?
Yeah, it sounds like they were all extended to March 31.
Yeah.
The other side, you got Carnduff beating Kyle. Didn't have that one on my bingo card.
Either did I.
No. That was game one?
That's right. Yeah. Game one on weekend 6-3.
That's an upset
right?
to me as well, fellas. I didn't see that one coming. But again, Carnduff Red Devils, they are there every time in Provincial C action at this time of year.
So is Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, I do think they played last year in the final. I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it was the South final, but they played last year at this time of year as well. So they're familiar with each other. And Kyle seems to always, you know, they lose their imports. They just find guys to plug and play. Game two,
isn't
Saturday,
that
and Kyle.
Though? Isn't that the truth? The Kyle Elks are like the Saskatoon Hilltops. They're never bad.
Brandon Wheat Kings.
You know what else they have in common with the Hilltops? Neither of us, they follow us on Twitter. Yeah.
Hilltops will let slide.
Game two, 5 o'clock, Kyle, Saturday. Game three, if necessary, is, I don't see that on your cheat sheet there, Millsy.
Sunday, buddy. Back
in Kyle as well. Little matinee. They'd be staying at the Kyle Motor Inn on Saturday night if they get the win there.
Good bars of soap.
What do you got? What do we got in D? Macklin taking care of Delisle handily, 5-1 in game one in the north.
That doesn't really surprise me or anybody else, I'm sure. I think Macklin's the better team in that one all the way around.
They're looking destined for another provincial final for the Mohawks in the south. Redvers knocks off Foam Lake. Rokenville Tiger Ryan Regal scores the double OT winner for the Rockets in Foam Lake. So I don't know. I think based on our bracket challenge participants, Foam Lake would have been favored by the people. But yeah, Redvers gets the win in game one out there. So we'll see what happens.
Game two going Sunday. No, when are they going? Saturday night, Monday, games two and three. 8 o'clock in Redvers, and then 8:30 back in Foam Lake on Monday. The old Monday night.
The midweek tilt in senior D. Let's talk leagues. Who wants to, Belts, why don't you kick us off?
Where are we going?
League. We don't have to talk White Mud. They've got their
the mud's
mentions
done.
For the year.
The mud's done. Over to the queue, though. The Yellowgrass Wheat Kings, Assiniboia Rebels in the final. Wheat Kings actually knocked off the Rebels in Assiniboia, 3-2 game one. Rebels came storming back in Yellowgrass. The Gifford game two beat them 6-2. We got a 3-3 possibly this weekend. Friday in Assiniboia, Saturday back in Yellowgrass, and game five, if necessary, 6 p.m. in Assiniboia. Beautiful new rink down there. So by this weekend, we will have a Nauticue Div 3 champ.
Ooh, exciting times.
Yeah.
Off to the Big Six just quickly here. Boz will just rush in through that. Mooseman takes care of Carlisle.
Ooh.
5-3, 5-4, and 5-4. The last two games, two and three, going to overtime. Both games, and Mooseman gets the lucky bounce and the win to move on to the league final there, where they will take on Redverse, who takes care of our aforementioned Carnduff Red Devils 6-3 to win that series and set up a date with the Rangers, which I think I read is a preview or a rematch of last year's league final.
Are we going to, can I go to the Twin?
Yes, sir.
Twin.
Yeah, boys. Rostern on an absolute heater at the right time of the year. Four straight wins. They get into the final after dumping Willow Cree, and now they're one up on Birch Hills. Rostern, led by Ben Zoltok, 1-1, and Braden Duval in net, kicking again. Braden Anderson for Rostern, another 1-1 performance. So, yeah, Tyson Novikoski for Birch Hills had two, but they just couldn't get it done. So, Rostern peaking at the right time, a tight 5-4 win, and they go at it again. In game two, Millsy, Birch Hills comes back
with a big 7-2 win. They didn't like the 5-4 beating on the night before and wear on Friday night, and then take game two 7-2 on Sunday.
League statistician still recovering from the Briar patch. They haven't got all that updated there. So
that game roster in game one, that goal was scored with 6 seconds left in the game to win it too.
Crazy. The twin is giving everybody up north the excitement they need. Unless you're cruising through PA, then there's always excitement there. Game three, Friday, March 15th, 8:15 at the Birch Hills Arena.
Over in the Sask West, we got a best out of five league final. The Wilkie Outlaws, undefeated, take on the number two seed Kindersley Senior Clippers. Nothing confirmed yet. I did hear, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we're looking at a Friday-Sunday start. I believe that, Kindersley got by Hafford in four of the best out of five. They won that game 4-8-6. It was a crazy one with about 90-some shots on goal. But the Clippers are moving on, trying to give the Outlaws their first loss. Wilkie is five wins away from a perfect season, provincials and league playoffs. So, yeah, five more, and they'll have the elusive undefeated season out there. Some tough games, though.
I think I'm boycotting the Wheatland Senior Hockey League website, because last time it gave me fits, and I'm not really on a heater today with things. But, Millsy, is Tisdale up 2-0 in the series, or where are they standing? 1-0?
They just played one game on Saturday night. Okay. Tisdale beat them 5-4. Games 2 and 3 are the 15th, 16th, so Friday, Saturday this weekend, and then games 4 and 5, if necessary, are Friday, Saturday of the following weekend.
All right, new website. Can't wait. Wheatland.
Boys, over in the Sask Alta, the Paradise Hill Hawks are 2 wins away from taking the trophy away from Washburn, who won it last year. That 1-2 final has the Hawks up 2-0. Best out of 7 season. So the Hawks won game 1, 3-2 in a close one. They go into Las Vegas on Saturday night, win 4-1. So a couple games this weekend. The trophy could be in the house in Washburn on Saturday if Paradise Hill wins game 3 Friday. But the Hawks are a perfect 8-0 in Sask Alta playoffs. So Paradise Hill playing well out there. See if they can close it out this weekend.
I'm going to give a break here while Belts pulls up the Western sales read, as we're going to go to the Sask Valley. I want to break time for the Ranchland Hockey League out in Alberta. Fort McLeod, Nanton. Nanton was the fourth seed. They blew a 6-3 lead in the third. Fort McLeod takes game 1, 7-6. Oh, Nanton. But then they bounce back 5-2 in game 2. So Nanton could be up 2-0, but the series is tied 1-1. Then the other one, Lethbridge and Siksika. That's the 2-3. 8-6 for Lethbridge in game 1. 7-1 for Lethbridge in game 2. So Lethbridge leads 2-0. Both are best of fives, and will finish up here this coming weekend. So that's the Ranchland out in Alberta.
Going to Western Sales, one of our great sponsors out there. You know what? What I love about Western Sales, they're still got, we've talked about this lots, but that CMI program, I think, is still buzzing. Get in on that. Locally owned dealerships making local decisions with all their customers' best interests in mind. They've been rocking green 76 years, guys. I didn't know that. That's one thing I actually didn't know. 185 employees through all of their divisions. And what can we name all? Rosetown, Davidson, Central Butte.
Outlook bigger.
One more, Elrose? 5 or 6.
Elrose. I actually saw the one of the guys there from Western Sales. I was meaning to go talk to him, and I didn't get around to it in the patch. Jason Heintze, one of the OGs out there, was at the Briar. I don't know if we should be telling that to the masses, but I'm pretty sure it was him and his Ryder green tarp in the patch.
Is this one of the most intriguing league finals in the province? But Keniston's in provincials, right? So there's the tiredness, all that. Millsy, what's your take on this league final, as we have Keniston and Dinsmore going to get going tomorrow night in Dinsmore at 8 p.m.
March 13th. Yes, the old weekday league games, provincial weekend games. The no rest for the wicked for that Keniston team. But I'm going to go out, and I'm taking Keniston in this one. I'm going to take it right now, and I'm going to say it's in four. They're just going to keep rolling. They're going to stay hot. Once you stay on the ice, keep playing, they're going to they're going to keep rolling. Dinsmore with the break now after losing to Wilkie this weekend. A little bit of rest, but I'm going with Keniston.
You don't think that Dinsmore now, that's really all they got to play for, league? So they got the little rest. Now they boys get fired up and they're like, all right, let's hang this banner.
No, well, how many times do you see it the other way too, where a team might win provincials and then they let off with league because they've kind of reached the top of
the big top is done. So they're now down. They might have some guys gone to Mexico this week, maybe.
Big Mexico trip coming.
That'll be a very intriguing series. Two teams that have been in our senior hockey top 10 virtually throughout the season. Anyone else want to hop in here with a league? Anyone got one in the queue?
Let's just go quick. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Sask Prairie, Meota, they're back. Buzz, the buzz saw, that is Meota. They're up 3-0 on Glaslyn. That first game in double OT, heartbreaker for Glaslyn. Meota wins game 2, 6-2, and then 6-3 in game 3. So that best of 7 could be wrapped up this Friday, 8 p.m. in Glaslyn.
Like we've said for a couple of years, it was always the Bynes. Should have never doubted Meota.
Bynes.
Let's just go quickly to the Long Lake. They got one game in this past weekend here. And the Wynyard Monarchs, off a little bit of a rest and hiatus, get by Wadena 4-3 in overtime on Saturday night. So didn't hear much of that game, but an overtime win. I think the Forsbergs were eligible to return for that one. So that was maybe a little lift for them. And they go back again Friday, Saturday this weekend. And then, if necessary, Friday, Saturday the following weekend, 22nd, 23rd for games 4 and 5.
Both of those teams' provincial aspirations are gone. So, yeah, we'll see how much they put on the line to hang a trophy this year. Over in the Crossroads, boys, the trophy was in the house on the weekend. The Dodsland Stars had a chance to sweep away the Crawbert Tigers, but the Tigers go into Dodsland and put up a 3-1 win on the road to extend the series. Another chance to close it out for your uncle's Dodsland Stars Friday night in Crawbert at the Memorial Arena. If Crawbert can win that one on home ice, game 5 for all the marbles, the inaugural league winner would go down Saturday in Dodsland at the Sports Center. So no matter what happens, the Crossroads will crown a champion this upcoming weekend. Kudos to everybody involved with that league, that solely local focused league. I've done a great job getting some life back into Crawbert, Dodsland, Kindersley, and Looseland. So good job to the Crossroads. Hopefully you guys are back bigger and better next season.
Where are we going? We got to give a plug. We haven't given a plug for a while for Great Western Brewing. Get in on the beer deal. Baseball season coming up. Keep it going. And Last Mountain Distillery, local distillery. So good out there. If it goes game 3 and oh. Stop at the distillery and pick up some gin. It's always gin season.
This might be a talk for the full show, but had a chance to throw some rocks on the Briar Ice with Original 16. I have, like, they say curling's not a sport. I was sweeping pretty hard. Like, I went for it. I was so sore for a couple days after. My triceps, my legs, like, yeah, it was a grind. Sore. It was really a hard grind.
I'm sore right here, like a weird under armpit.
Not here or here, but right here.
Yeah.
My man boobs are feeling a little bit. I could see how a guy could. Yeah, it was good. It was fun. I might be curling guy soon. I might be in a men's league by this time next year. It's a lot of fun.
I'm just happy I didn't do the ass over tea kettle. That would have been embarrassing.
Yeah, shout out to Original 16. What a run they had at the Briar Patch, as well as the host and title sponsor out there. They must have sold a lot of tall cans, but couldn't do it without them. Had a chance to meet some of their reps from around the province. Where do we go next league?
Let's just go quickly to, you guys just mentioned the distillery out in Lumsden. Let's just go quickly to the queue. As we know, Lumsden's waiting for the other series to finish, and as we talked a little bit about it this weekend, fellas, they were playing games 3 and 4 and Balcaris was up. Now, please correct me, fellas, 4 goals in game 3 and blew a 4-goal lead to lose 7-6 to Milestone. Ooh. In game 3.
Leafs.
And then they turn around and come back in game four and win 5-3 to force a deciding game five on Wednesday, March 13th, with the winner to face the Lumsden Monarchs for a league championship in the QVHHL.
Would love to see that Belcaris back in the final again this year. That would be a very good series with Lumsden, especially if the Monarchs aren't going in provincials, although they're still quite alive there. Is the only other league we have left the East?
Sask East.
Rock City's buzzing. Hey, Millsy, they've got a spot in the finals. They've rattled off a bunch in a row. Lost game one to Langenberg and then just steamrolled them the next three.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, 9-3 and 10-4 in games two and three, and then they win the deciding game 4-6-2 to book their ticket. And we all thought, and I will be one included, had the Swan Valley Axemen into the final, but the Kenora Cobras had something else to say, and they win a couple of overtime games this weekend, 6-5 and 4-3. So they are heading to a game five on Friday, March 15th.
What a series.
Yeah. The last three games have all been in overtime. Swan Valley wins 9-8 game two in overtime, and then Kenora wins 6-5 and 4-3 in games three and four in overtime.
I bet you that's going to be a sneaky big crowd. Game five in Minnetonas, as they
Should be back in Kenora, should it not?
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Kenora is the home seed. Okay.
The one seed.
So they won two games. Oh, wow. Yeah. Back in Kenora. Not going to edit that because we're going high and tight. But yeah, that's going to be a big one for the – that's going to be huge. I can't wait to see pictures of that crowd. I don't see a date scheduled yet.
March 15th.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, that's just not on their bracket. This Friday.
There you go.
Yep. I'll stop talking because nothing I'm saying is adding up. That's our – I think that's the last league. I think that's all of them. Okay, fellas, let's get into the top 10.
The top 10 for General Well Servicing, Southeastern Saskatchewan, always hiring really good jobs, well paid. Get the odd hamburger from the boss. Always great. General Well Servicing, top 10.
This is the General Well Servicing Monday Nooner Senior Hockey Top 10.
All right, why don't we go into the honorable mentions this week? Millsy, do you got them in front of you? I'm just going to...
I do. I got them right here. The in for honorable mentions, the Rostern Wheat Kings, the Paradise Hill Hawks, and Boz and Barney's boys, the Miota Combines.
The Bines.
And another one for Rock City. They were in there last week, but I'm impressed with the Hodges boys out there in the Sask East. Let's get into the top 10 with number 10. From the Long Lake Hockey League, they lost out of provincials to Gubba's boys. Bit of a dagger there, but they bounced back and they're leading the Long Lake final. The Wynyard Monarchs.
Number 9.
From the Big Six Hockey League, Tony's boy playing net out there, the Mooseman Rangers.
Number 8.
If it goes game 3, I might head out Sunday. Maybe hit the Pepper Tree for a little steak sando. Watrous, Winterhawks.
Number 7.
Fellas, I don't know if they've made a debut in the top 10 yet this year, but from the Sask West, they lost to Wilkie in provincials, but they are buzzing, or lost to Wilkie in playoffs, they are buzzing in provincials. We got Macklin Mohawks.
Number 6.
In at number 6, Millsy, another new addition that has not been inside the top 10 this year, but to your point earlier on in the show, they're always there at provincial time. They're one win away from a C provincial final. Fowler's boys out there, the Carnduff Red Devils. I should say Carol Vanstone's boys, Malcolm's mom, because she is a huge fan of the Red Devils out there in Carnduff.
Number 5.
Number 5 from the QVHHL, the Beach Boys from Lumsden, the Monarchs. Really got to pull it together here Saturday night for a W. Centered game 3 in Lumsden. I think that's what all the fans really want.
Number 4.
These guys have the U of S and the booking agent for the Belcher Center on speed dial, getting ready to possibly head up to the big city for the provincial. I'm starting something here, but it just makes sense, Keniston, if you win, play there. The Keniston, Blizzard.
Number three.
And in at number three, making a big jump, and we talked about this earlier amongst us. They just knocked off the number two seed last week in Lumsden. They are now your number three seed in this week's Monday Nooner Top 10, the Round Lake Bears.
Fellas, before I get to number two.
Shawnee's boys.
Would Shawnee's boys be the betting favorite? Say there was hypothetical lines for play now. As of right now, would the Round Lake Bears be the favorite to win Provincial A?
I'd say yes, and I took them from the start in my bracket as the winners. So,
how is the bracket challenge doing? We haven't even talked about it.
I saw the Bearcats in second.
Second place, our very own. Number two right now. Although that hasn't been updated since Wilkie's win over Dinsmore. I do believe that about 90% of participants had Wilkie, so shouldn't change too much. But watch our socials for an updated bracket challenge.
I might have had Dinsmore, man.
Well, I'll have to talk to the bracketologist and get that cleaned up. But thanks to our sponsors on that again. We'll mention them at the end of the show. Number two from the Big Six. They were number three last week. Go into Foam Lake and get a W in double overtime. The Redvers Rockets double banners are in their sights, and I'd say they have a hell of a chance to do it. Your number two team in Saskatchewan.
16-2 on the season.
Millsy, take the number one away.
The number one senior hockey team in the province.
And in at number one, they've been there. Boz just mentioned it. They're on a little bit of a heater, you would say. And it's, I think it's up to 27-0 now.
Oh, yes. Rosetown Red Wings style.
From Wilkie, the Outlaws.
You're right on the 27, because last show I said 22 in a row, and I got a text saying it was 25, and then they doubled down twice against Dinsmore. So 27 in a row, 18 in league, 3 in league playoffs, and 6 in provincials. That is one hell of a heater. Your number one team in senior hockey.
Mention the bracket people again that made it work, and you're gonna put an update in. Almost positive I possibly took Dinsmore, so I got.
Oh, you just hate to see it was never the darn schmoes. let's give a little shout out to Green Bin Direct. Devin Spencer hired senior hockey Tendy from days gone by. You need grain bins erected. He's your guy out there in the prairies. You got GB Construction. The Batters family is such a great supporter of us and everything that's happening construction, earth moving wise in Western Canada. They've been so good to us, and we appreciate them. And then Crazy Charlie's Building Supplies, Regina, selling things at cost pretty much, Belts, eh?
Yeah, boys are buzzing. They got lots of decking, cheapest price in Canada for your composite decking. Give them a holler. And G&S Marine out at Rowan's Ravine. Want to do some fishing, some guided fishing out there. Sounds funny to lots of you guys, but I know a lot of the boys listening love that stuff. These guys are awesome. They put you on some huge fish in the summer and the winter. Give them a phone call and they'll hook you up.
It is an unbelievable time for senior hockey. We've got a lot of games coming up this weekend. Fellas, we'll have some boots somewhere around the province. And we'll be back on Friday with a full show. And hopefully we get an interview lined up by then to bring to the people. But have a great week, everybody. Thanks, boys. Enjoy.
See you later.
Later.
Thanks, fellas.